This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All praise is due to Allah. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the seal of the prophets and messengers, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my brothers, my sisters in Islam, in the hadith that is found in Bukhari, a man approaches the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for some advice. And the prophetic response is just two words. And these two words, subhanallah, are so important for our day-to-day lives. In this hadith, the man came to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, "Awsini, give me advice, advise me, ya Rasulullah." فقال النبي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كلمتان لا تغضب, don't become angry. فردد مرارا, and this man kept on repeating his request for advice, and النبي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept on saying لا تغضب, do not become angry. In another hadith, another version of the hadith that is found in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, this man, he said, فَفَكَّرْتُ, he said, I thought about these words. فَفَكَّرْتُ حِينَ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا قَالَ فَإِذَا الْغَضَبُ يَجْمَعُ الشَّرُّ كُلُّ. He said, I reflected upon these two words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not to become angry. And he said, pondering and reflecting upon these words, I realized that anger encompasses all evil. That anger encompasses all evil. So today, insha'Allah ta'ala, I want to speak about the importance of anger and controlling one's anger. But first, what is anger? Now, anger is a natural part of the human being. And there is praiseworthy anger, which is good sort of anger that we'll talk about. And there is a blameworthy type of anger. And so, subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal, He tests us through this emotion of anger. And one of the merits and the blessings of Islam is that it ensures the dignity of a human being. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. The dignity of a human being in how they behave as well, and how a human being is to remain dignified and composed regardless of the external circumstances that may provoke him. So that way we don't oppress ourselves and we don't oppress others, and we don't do something that could lead to a very devastating result. So Islam dignifies a person from behaviors that will make you as a grown-up look like a child, right? Or that you engage in behaviors that have devastating consequences. Some behaviors during moments of ghadab and anger can transition a person from being an adult to being a child in their behavior, or from being sane to becoming insane, or from belief to disbelief. There are unfortunately some people during times of anger, they commit words of kufr. They say words that are unpleasing to Allah that can land them into kufr, wal'iyadhu billah, into disbelief. Or for example, we find between the husband and the wife, you know, the husband becomes angry and he utters the word of divorce. So again, you become from married to becoming divorced and ruining and spoiling your relationship that Allah blessed you with, and spoiling the outcome for your children and their future. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. During moments of anger, if you don't know how to curb your anger, you can go from being friends to enemies from the people around you. Or if you're a businessman and you don't know how to deal with different human beings and you get angry so quickly, your business can come down and not be so thriving and fruitful. Or from being free to being incarcerated in jail because of something that you do in a moment of anger. Or from being alive to doing something during a moment of anger, and that, subhanAllah, you end up being killed because of your anger. So subhanAllah, we see the evil consequences of anger on many different fronts. And so alhamdulillah, Islam came to move us away from a victim, from becoming a victim of our own anger. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has alluded that yes, the anger is from the shaitan, but the question is all anger from the shaitan? And the answer is no, only when it's unjustified. And most of the time when a person is angry, he's angry for personal reasons and not for the sake of Allah, or not for the sake of adl and for the sake of justice. So not all the anger is from the shaitan. Now there's two types of anger: the anger that is coming from the shaitan so that you can commit injustice. And when this anger comes about, it consumes you and it blocks your ability from being sensible, from being able to think through your mind and not your emotions, thinking through your rational side of the brain and not from the emotional side of the brain. And it blocks your ability to have sabr and to have patience. And the best remedy, one of the best remedies to remedy and to be able to be a very patient person and to be able to control your anger is to increase your iman, is to have high levels of faith and lots of acts of worship. There have been stories of individuals who converted to Islam, and they tell the story about how before Islam they were very angry individuals, and after Islam and prioritizing Allah and prioritizing the akhirah, the hereafter, over the dunya, they found themselves to be a lot more in control of their anger. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he says in the Quran, innahu, meaning the shaytan, innahu laysa lahu sultanun ala alladhina amanu wa ala rabbihim yatawakkalun. That he, for him, there is no authority over those who have believed iman and those who depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then there is the praiseworthy anger. That's the anger that is for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's when the boundaries of Allah are violated and transgressed. And so the anger must be regulated. If you're going to get angry for the sake of Allah, there's still going to be boundaries that are set by Allah, by the Quran and by the Sunnah. Let's give an example from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When one day he walks into the apartment of Aisha radiyallahu anha, and he sees that Aisha has hung up a piece of material and it has pictures on it, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's face changed. It changed in color, and he took it down and he ripped it apart and he tore it apart. This is anger that he got angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we need to be striving to have the qualities that will allow us to be more in control, more cautious, more prudent when it comes to our anger. During the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in Amul Wufud, when the delegations were coming to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and tribes were coming with their chiefs, there was a chief that came with his followers to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And you can just imagine how, you know, everybody's excited to see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so they were so excited when they came. They violated the tradition that, you know, first of all, the Amir or the chief comes forward, he gives his salam to the Prophet, and then the rest of the followers come. But they were so excited, they left their chief behind. They just charged forward and they gave their greeting to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what did this man do? What did this chief do? He stayed behind and he started just preparing himself to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, if I'm going to meet him, you know, I've been traveling, my clothes are dirty, I have a bad smell from the travel, but I want to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a good state. So he prepared himself, and then finally he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he greets him, right? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, inna fika khaslatayn yuhibbuhuma Allah. That you have two traits, you have two characteristics, Allah loves them about you. And then he asks him, what are they? He says, al-hilmu wal-anah. Al-hilmu wal-anat. And hilm means that you have prudence, that you have cautiousness. You do things out of cautiousness. you know, that you also have this ability to put up with the things that are making you frustrated. And anat is deliberation, that you have this, you know, long and careful consideration. You think things through what to do best before you take your action. This is what we want to have. We want to have al-hilm, and we want to have anat. And you notice how he mentions hilm, then he mentions anat. So there is an order. If you have hilm, if you take the precautions, then you will then, inshallah, find yourself in the state of anat. And so, subhanAllah, if you are angry, you're going to censor the ability to have hilm and to have this anat, to have this forbearance. SubhanAllah, we live in a day and age, it's very, very busy and so much opportunity. And with this busy lifestyle and not worshipping Allah, probably like the companions or the Salaf al-Salih used to worship Allah, that means that we are going to be on the higher end of the anger management spectrum, right? And so the key is to prioritize Allah, to prioritize Iman, to prioritize worship. Just by increasing your worship in your life, in your household, you will find yourself more patient. You will find yourself, subhanAllah, having the ability to put up with more. Fast-paced life, less worship, too many notifications going off. This is really something that we need to control and be balanced with, insha'Allah ta'ala. In Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِنْ كُونُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ وَلَكِنْ كُونُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ, meaning, be people of God. Allah wants us to be people of Allah, be people of God. One of the mufassirun, one of the commentators about kunu rabbaniyun, when he's commentating and he's saying, what does it look like? What does it mean to be rabbaniyun? He says two words. He says, hulama'un ulama, hulama' ulama, meaning to be forbearant and to be knowledgeable. That one of the best ways to be a rabbani is to have this patience, this forbearance, this cautiousness about you, and to have knowledge and to have ilm. And so, subhanAllah, it's very important that we ensure that in our family home, that we as parents are setting a good example of anger management, of emotional intelligence, when it comes to our children who are learning from us. And so there's a story about how a father realized about his son and how his son has high anger, you know, high anger about him. He gets angry very quickly. He's always angry. So he wants to teach his son a lesson. And they live on a very big land, like a farm. And so what does he do? He gives his son a box of nails and a hammer. And he says to him, every time you get angry, you need to walk to the end of the fence, to the end of the property, and you need to nail this nail into the fence. And subhanAllah, in the first day, he nails about 38 nails. That's how angry this boy was. Now, the punishment was the distance, how far he had to walk to nail this, and so he can deliberate and think about this. And subhanAllah, then the boy realized that this is too taxing on the body. This is too much. And so by a few days later, it really started to come down. And then the father said to him, for each day you are not angry, you take out a nail. And then by the time there were no nails, the father walked with his son. They walked to the end of the property and they looked at the fence and there's no nails. And he said to him, what do you see here? He said, there's no nails. He goes, but what else do you see? He said, I can see holes. And he said, you see your anger, look what, you know, yes, you've done the damage. You know, yes, you've taken away, you've repented, you've done your tawbah, but the hole is still there. The holes are still there. So Allah can forgive you, but people don't forgive. People are not Allah. Allah can forgive, but the people may not forgive you. And you may leave damage in their hearts, in their minds forever. So this is something that we need to think about. And especially when it comes to parents in our household, there are children that are so traumatized by their parents that they blame the deen. They blame the religion. We are ambassadors. We are all ambassadors of Islam as parents. And we need to ensure that we are sending the right message to our children so they fall in love with the Quran and with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah al-azim li wa lakum fastaghfiru innahu huwa al-ghafur al-rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, Islam offers us a roadmap out of anger. And I just want to very quickly share with you 10 tips to help you manage your anger. Number one, seek knowledge and obsess over the best practices to overcome anger. You know, what are the hadiths out there? What are the ayat out there? What are the pearls of wisdom and the quotes out there that will help us? Always envision these words of wisdom to help us control our anger. For example, in the hadith, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Innama al-ilmu bit-ta'allum wa innama al-hilmu bit-tahallum." وَمَنْ يَتَحَرَّ الْخَيْرَ يُعْطَهُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَقَّ الشَّرَّ يُوقَهُ. He said that knowledge comes about through learning. You want to be knowledgeable? You need to go and learn. You need to invest your time and money. And hilm, which is that beautiful characteristic in that chief, forbearance, comes by cultivating forbearance. That the more you are intentional and conscious about being a forbearant person, you will become a forbearant person. And whoever aims for good, they're going to receive good. When you intend good and that, and you with sincerity, and when you seek to evade the evil, keep away from the shar and the evil, you'll be protected from it. And so let's get, inshallah ta'ala, learning. And two of the greatest resources in the English language that I recommend is one book by Sheikh Muhammad Saleh Al-Munajjid, Fakkallahu Asrahu, Correcting People's Mistakes. Correcting People's Mistakes, The Prophetic Methodology. So this is very recommended to read. Another very recent book that helps you with your emotions, that help you understand emotions through the framework of the Quran and the Sunnah, is a book with the heart in mind, The Moral and Emotional Intelligence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Sheikh Mikael Smith. And you can even find reviews and some commentary about this book on YouTube. So know, my dear brother and dear sister in Islam, al-jahilu aduwu nafsi. When you have juhl, when you have ignorance, you become your own enemy. You become your enemy when you don't know how to control your anger. So read about the virtues of controlling your anger and how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do that. And this is from the qualities of the people that are going to Jannah. As we read in Surah Ali Imran, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. When he's talking about those who will be entering Jannah and some of their most beautiful qualities, he says, those who spend in the cause of Allah during ease and during hardship and who restrain their anger. Wal kadhimin al ghayz, restraining the anger and pardoning the people. And so you need to pardon the people, pick your battles. You don't need to fight every single battle. Subhanallah. So in Sahih Bukhari, we read that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the man who is not a good wrestler, the strong man is in fact the person who controls himself at the time of anger. That the true strength is not the strength of being able to wrestle your opponent to the ground, but it's to be able to control your anger. And in Sunan Abi Dawood, An-Nabiyyu sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I guarantee a house, a mansion in the surroundings of paradise of Jannah for a man who avoids quarreling even if he's in the right. Subhanallah. You avoid the quarrel and the argumentation even if you are in the right. So the true believer, the ideal Muslim, when a moment of anger comes and you're disputing with someone, you walk away looking at Jannah and you looking at the reward in the same way that you would walk away from someone who's holding a gun towards you. You wouldn't fight that person. You would look at the ramifications. The reverse psychology of this is to look at the merit of walking away and what you will achieve, insha'Allah ta'ala. Number two, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he saw two men arguing in his presence, يعني one of these men, his face, subhanAllah, went red and his veins were swelling, and he said, إني لأعلم كلمة لو قالها لذهب عنه ما يجد. لو قال أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. saying, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim," he said, this will take away the anger. So this is something to remember, because if anger hijacks your rationale, then shaitan has won and is putting you at a distant and in a very dangerous place. Number three, keep silent. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, and we also read in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he said, "Idha ghadiba ahadukum falyaskut." That when one of you becomes angry, he should remain silent. And in Surah Al-A'raf, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, he says, "Walamma sakata an Musa al-ghadabu akhadha al-alwah." When the anger subsided from Musa, he was in an angry state. Before he took action to take up the tablets, he was silent. And then he took the action. Number four is to walk away. When you are angry, walk away. Concerning this hadith, la taghdab, these two words, Imam al-Sha'bi, one of the great jurists of the Tabi'un, he said, la taghdab, don't become angry, means two things. Number one, don't act upon your anger. Don't act upon your anger. And number two, if you can't control your anger, then walk away, so you don't end up acting upon it. A man once came to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu wa arda, and he said to him, لَأَسُبَّنَّكَ سَبَّنْ يَدْخُلُ مَعَكَ قَبْرُكَ. That I am going to curse you in such a way that will enter your grave. يعني, I'm going to humiliate you. I'm going to ruin your reputation in a way that's going to follow you until you die. What did Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu wa ardahu say? He said, بَلْ يَدْخُلُ مَعَكَ أَنْتَ وَانْصَرَفْ. He said, it will enter with you, and he just walked away. This, yani, we learn from this, insha'Allah ta'ala. We learn that we need to, maybe, you know, you've heard of the saying, count to 100 when you are angry. Why do they say count to 100? Because at the moment of anger, what's going to happen is the first part of your brain, which is the right side of your brain, the emotional side, is going to kick in, and it's going to release adrenaline, which will flood your body. And then it takes it about 90 seconds, the studies have shown, for the adrenaline to come out of your body, and then the rational side of your brain, the left side of your brain, now you can start to deliberate and talk and ask questions. And hence, when we look at these ahadith of walking away, of remaining silent, this gives us time to help us manage that anger. Number five, if you're standing, sit down. If you're sitting, lie down. In Sunan Abi Dawood, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if one of you is angry while standing, let him sit down. And if his anger doesn't go away, then let him lie down. Abu Dharr, one of the Sahaba, one of the companions, he was once talking to a person, and the people around him, he saw as he was sitting down, he just lie down. And they said to him, why did you do that? He said, I became angry. I became angry, and I wanted to implement the words of the Prophet ﷺ and to decrease my anger. Number six, always be intentional and deliberate about being a gentle human being. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Muslim, he said, "Inna rifqa la yakunu fi shay'in illa zana wa ma wa la nuzi'a min shay'in illa shana." That verily gentleness is not found in anything, but that it beautifies it. When you apply gentleness to anything, it beautifies the situation. And when it is removed, when you're not gentle, it disgraces the situation. Number seven, be forgiving. Be forgiving. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. And those who avoid the major sins and immoralities, and when they are angry, they forgive. So Allah acknowledges here that the believer can get angry, but one of the best qualities is to be forgiving. Number eight, exercise your patience. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Bukhari, he said, وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهِ. That sabr is an exercise. Like you exercise your body for nice, healthy, strong body, inshaAllah ta'ala, you exercise these behaviors, you do them over and over again, and you think about them, inshaAllah ta'ala, so you can develop them. And number nine is dua. Make dua. Especially the morning and the evening adhkar. You must make it your must, because that's going to help you. But when you leave your home, When you leave your home, make dua that you don't oppress not only others, but you don't oppress yourself through your ghadab. And that's why An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us to say when we leave our homes, Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an adilla aw udal aw azilla aw uzal aw azlima aw uzlam aw ajhala aw yujhala alay. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from going astray or leading others astray, from slipping or letting others slip, from being oppressed or oppressing others, and from acting ignorantly or others acting ignorantly against me, towards me. And in Sunan al-Nasa'i, we read the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his dua, he would say, Allahumma wa as'aluka khashyatuka fil ghaybi wa shahada wa as'aluka kalimat al-haqqi fil rida wal ghadab. That he's asking Allah for the word of truth in times of happiness and in times of anger. And number 10, and the last one here, is repel the negative with ahsan, with better. Any negativity that comes your way, you need to repel it with what is best. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. He says, good and evil cannot be equal. Repel the evil by that deed which is better, and thereupon the one whom between you and him is enmity will become as if you are devoted friends. Subhanallah, if this is how we are to be with our enemies, what then of our brothers, our sisters, our spouse, our family members, our devoted friends? So we need to apply ahsan. And the scholars, they said, if you're not getting the desired good outcome, then you're not applying the best deeds. You're not applying ahsan. Finally, practice seeing yourself controlling your anger. Look at yourself in the future, implementing some of these many things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us and the Book of Allah has taught us, so that inshallah, when the moment of anger comes, you've already rehearsed and practiced what you will do during the moment of anger. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma aghfir lil muslimina wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه يا رب العالمين. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل. اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم أجرنا من النار. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه.